enjoyed the singing this evening, and I'm not suggesting that we sing it now, but I just wanted to, it made me think of one of our hymns. I'm going to just read the lyrics here and ask yourself if this isn't what you've experienced here tonight. Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship thee. At once they sing, at once they pray, they hear of heaven and learn the way. I've been there and still would go. 'Tis like a little heaven below. Not all that hell or sin can say shall tempt me to forget this day. Oh, write upon my memory, Lord, the text and doctrine of thy word, that I may break thy laws no more, but love thee better than before. With thoughts of Christ and things divine, fill up this foolish heart of mine, that hoping pardon through his blood, I may lie down and wake with God. Doesn't that really sum up what we're doing here?
Yes.
I hope it does. It's been a wonderful day. I miss Brother Harvey already,
yes,
greatly. If we can just have a short session of the Mutual Admiration Society. I love that man. He did so much for me. And he's a hero of mine. And I'll miss him greatly. Brother Gary and I talk a good bit, text, cut up, and he's told me that you folks have been studying in the book of Galatians, which is a fantastic book, and he kept talking about it, and next thing I knew, I want to talk to you tonight from the first chapter of the book of Galatians. And if it's a repeat of what you've already heard, amen, you need to hear it again anyway.
Exactly.
And if the Lord would bless, maybe there's a little bit more. I love God's word in a way now that in a prior time of my life, I did not.
That's right.
I hang on every word. I hang on the punctuation.
Absolutely.
It's real.
Amen.
Let's just jump right into it. I love it. Listen. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul writes this book, and he's writing it, it's hard to find quite the right words. It's almost as if he's having to prove himself to the congregation there at the church, or actually churches of Galatia. He says that he's an apostle.
Right.
And right off the bat, there's a parenthetical statement that says, not of men. He's not an apostle of men. We've heard that expression, a man's man, or a Hebrew of Hebrews. Or he's not an apostle of men. This is not a man's club. Neither by man. In other words, this wasn't a men's group that he was part of. But his apostleship was not by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul can't get a sentence out without beginning to declare the gospel.
Amen.
Not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ. Very, very similar to what he would say in Ephesians chapter, let's see, where did I find that? Chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God.
Yeah.
And God the Father who raised him from the dead. Right off the bat, he starts out with one of the most important truths of the gospel message, and that is the resurrection.
Right. That's right. Exactly.
We got a flavor, we got a taste of that today as we sat in a memorial service for a dear man. Hope of the resurrection. What? Why would we have gathered like that in such a way had there not been the hope of the resurrection?
That's right. Exactly.
It just been a meeting of the Mutual Admiration Society, that's all. He's not alone as he writes this. He says, and all the brethren which are with me.
Right.
Now, Paul did begin his ministry very much alone.
That's right.
3 years, was it? Very much alone. But there were others that came later with him, and all the brethren which are with me, and this is being written unto the churches of Galatia. And there's a colon. I love those colons. He tells us, he's going to tell us why. Grace be to you and peace. But it's not a meeting of the Mutual Admiration Society. He's not an apostle of men. So he says that this grace and peace that he wants to bestow and pass on and give to the churches of Galatia is from God.
Amen.
Look at that. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father. Do you view God's word that way? And when we read Paul and Peter and James, when we read those epistles, do we understand that we are hearing from God? We often speak of the inspiration of Scripture and how men, holy men of old, were moved. But do we see it that way as from God? From God. It's not from me. I'm not an apostle. I might want to get that out of the way. I'm not an apostle. Brother Garrity, did you define for the good folks here what an apostle is or was? Was. Someone that had firsthand knowledge of the man Jesus Christ. There may be those today that call themselves apostles, and I'm not going to beat up on them. I'm a First Amendment Baptist, okay? I'm a First Amendment Baptist. If they want to call themselves an apostle, okay. But the Bible doesn't describe anyone living today as an apostle
of right.
Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
To all the brethren which are with me, grace be to you, peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, there's so much in verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins. Again, Paul, right out of the chute, he's declaring the gospel, who gave himself for our sins. Do we understand what that truly means? I'm reminded of Matthew chapter, let's see if I get over there right quick, Matthew 20. Jesus speaking there, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, I think we heard this today. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The word ransom is, you know, the United States of America has a policy of not paying ransom. You know, that's hard, isn't it? I got a feeling if it were my family member that was captured, I'd be wanting somebody to pay the ransom, wouldn't you? But we have a policy not to pay the ransom for these crazy people. I understand why.
Sure.
You did one, there'd be a flood. Because
right.
Everybody wants a piece of the good old USA. A lot could be said about that in our present evil world.
Right.
He came to give himself a ransom, to pay the price. To pay the price of captivity. Makes me think of what the prophet Isaiah would say in Isaiah 53 and verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, not to us, but to himself. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. that verse gets close to me because I understand what the word iniquity means. I may have mentioned this here before. I don't know. Iniquity is willful sin. Iniquity is when you know to do better or do right and you don't. Wow. Let that one get on you a little bit. He shall bear their iniquities. And that's what Christ has done. When Paul says he gave himself for our sins, that's what he means. Amen. Also reminds me, let's see, where else could we go? John chapter 11 and verse 51. There, prophetically, the high priest before our Lord was crucified. Verse 49, and one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, or consider that it's expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And thus he spake, not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not just for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Just keep in mind now, Paul says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Let me also think of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Get over there right quick. In verse 6, we love this verse, I'm sure we do. Paul would tell Timothy there in verse 1, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. I wish more folks would do that today in our country, don't you?
Yes.
That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I'm not going to bother going over what that doesn't mean. But I will make this point. There's one God and one mediator between God and men.
That's right.
I love the English there.
Absolutely.
If Paul meant everybody that's ever been on this earth, it would have been a perfect place for him to have used another word,
right.
Man. But he didn't.
That's right.
Because men is a subset of man.
Amen.
Who gave himself a ransom for all. Let's look over what Paul would say to Titus as he would write to him. Paul was a lover of young preachers, kind of like Brother Harvey.
That's right. Yes.
Don't misunderstand. I'm not comparing Brother Harvey to the Apostle Paul. But I can tell you this, Brother Harvey Fulmer loved young ministers. And in Titus chapter 2, very familiar passage there, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Keep that word in mind, present. And what does that look like when we're living in such a way? Is it just a list of don'ts there? Living soberly and righteously and godly in this present world? No, he tells us in verse 13, it's a looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us.
Amen.
That he might redeem us from all iniquity. There's that word again. And purifying himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Paul would tell Titus, these things speak and exhort. And rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. Why? Because it's the truth.
Amen.
It's the truth. Let me get back to Galatians. It's amazing to me how much you can run around in God's Word. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Bear down on that one a little bit. That he might deliver us. You know, I used to think that God tried to do things. But he says he gave. In fact, just look that word up sometime. Just the word give, look that word up. You'll be shocked. Give is a strong word. Give is not offer. Give is not try. It's not approach. Give means to impart. It means to bring forth. It means to do, carry out, to give. You think about a woman that gives birth to a child. Baby's coming. You can say turn it off all you want, but mama's going to give birth, right? It comes to be, to give life. So when we see that, right off the bat, Paul, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. And that word might, it's a word of authority, it's a word of, I'm trying to think of the exact definition of it, but it doesn't mean perhaps.
That's right.
And the best example I've used at home is to take a book, and if everybody's watching, I'm holding this book and I'm going to let go of it, that it might fall. Okay, that's what that word means.
Come on, brother.
He gave himself for our sins for a purpose. And that purpose was to deliver us from this present evil world.
Amen.
That's the gospel in a nutshell. Might deliver us. I like to look at every word. Deliver. Deliver. To rescue.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't mean to leave it on the porch and hope you come open the door and find it. Deliver means to rescue. And it goes, it's better than that, folks. It means to set free.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He gave himself for our sins for the purpose of that he might deliver us, to set us free from this present world.
Amen.
I used to just, well, I say used to, we had to fight the gospel salvation, time salvation, wars and years past and all that. And often, amen, amen. That's a present tense, this world. I need saving in this world, don't you?
Oh, yes.
But in September of 1930, when Brother Harvey Fulmer was born, this world was evil.
That's right.
And a few days ago, when he drew his last breath on this world, on this earth, this world was evil. Can anybody tell me when this world wasn't? I'd have to go back to about Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on.
This world is evil. And it's presently evil. It'll be evil tomorrow. It'll be evil in the day that trump sounds.
That's right.
And the Lord comes with a shout,
yes,
with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that remain, and I'm paraphrasing that, we're not going to prevent, we're not going to proceed.
Right.
It's going to be an evil world then. This present world. Brothers and sisters, Jesus came and gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us, rescue us, set us free from this present evil world. I asked the question, when was this world not evil? He asked some today. Well, November 16th, 2016, it wasn't so evil, but now it is. Oh, my friend, isn't that so sad that many today are that worried that they think that who's president makes that big a difference. Don't misunderstand me, folks. I just don't want us to get our eyes off of Jesus.
Amen.
Because he's the one that came and gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil world.
Yes.
Man's never going to do it.
That's right.
No man is ever going to do it.
That's right.
According to the will of God and our Father. Why would, you know, I almost think that verse 4 is the key to unlock the entire book of Galatians.
Yep.
Isn't it interesting? He concludes that statement of verse 4 and 5 by saying, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Sounds like it's a settled matter.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
And the very next verse, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's a proof text, by the way, that the gospel of Christ can and has been perverted.
Exactly. Exactly.
It also is a proof text for how needful it is for us to be like the Bereans.
That's exactly right.
Who were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And that word noble is a good word. Look that word up sometime. Noble. We think about nobility. We think about someone that's noble. I've known some noble men. I think Brother Harvey Stewart, Fulmer was a noble man. But the nobility that Paul was making reference to was that they searched the scriptures every single Sunday.
No,
daily. 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 They had a daily appetite to know, are these things true? And it wasn't because they were in doubt and fear, but it brought, I believe, more fuller assurance in their own lives. To go again, like I've heard Brother Edward Cagle in years past to say, I just wanted to look one more time and see if it really is by grace that we're saved.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
We need to have that kind of attitude when we hear all this stuff going on in the world today.
That's right.
And people get all spooked and scared. Do you realize that, folks, I've been trying to go through the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians at home. Some deep water there too. And believe it or not, there were God's people within a generation. I'm talking about there were people in that congregation that may have seen the Lord Jesus himself. But so early on, there were those that had crept in and they thought that the resurrection had already passed. And they were, and the other part of that era, because when we speak of the resurrection, I forgive me, I'm going to get off in the weeds just a minute. But in 1 Thessalonians, they may have read that. I didn't go to the graveside today, but this passage of Scripture may have been read. Right there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we love it. Paul says in verse 13, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you starve not, as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you understand that resurrection and the Lord's return are this close together?
That's exactly right.
There's not thousands of years between them.
That's right.
They're one in the same.
Isn't it
kind of interesting? I say interesting. That's really, isn't it sad that there is a generation of children today that are concerned about the end of the world? They've been told, we've only got 12 more years. Now, we chuckle. We chuckle at that. We've only got 12 more years and we're all dead if we don't, you know, pass the green whatever bill. Go back to living, I don't know how they're going to work that out. But literally, they're, you think I'm laughing, there are kids today, I call them kids, they're adults, they're young adults, that are not getting married. They are not having children. They're not, out of fear and worry that there's not going to be a world to live in. Or that it's going to be so bad. Why would I want to bring a child into that world? So don't tell me that God's people can't get confused about the end of the world. Paul spent a whole book on the subject. Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present world. By the way, in case anybody wonders where I stand on the subject, I do believe in global warming and climate change. I do. It's a biblical principle. I do. 2 Peter chapter 3, yeah. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that there are therein shall be burned up. I believe in global warming. You know, we do need to kind of laugh about that in a way. But do we understand? Do we believe that verse? There is coming an end to it all. How does that sit with you? You know, you scare me to death. When I used to believe another way, the end of the world, the Lord's return, was something I was scared to death of. I didn't want to hear none of that. That scared me. That's what the preacher did every Sunday, was scare me. If I didn't somehow accommodate, I was in trouble. But the Lord's coming back, folks. And we're further down the road now than when this was written. We're 2,000 years down the road. Again, not saying this to spook anybody or anything like that, but if we're to be mature Christians, we need to understand the reality of it. It doesn't go on and on and on. Isn't it glorious then that the Lord gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil? Paul marveled that they were soon removed from the truth. Why? What was going on? Why was it so easy? Same reason it is today. Same reason. Somebody's got a better argument. Somebody's got other facts, or so-called. What was that? I wish I could quote that verse where Paul was a believer in good science, but he also made reference to science falsely, so-called. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Look at verse 8. But though we, Paul says, though we, he includes himself in this. He's not above the truth. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you've received, let him be accursed. Boy, Paul's bearing down on it. Mm-hmm. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Heard maybe it's Brother Abraham today speaking to Brother Fulmer. He's not willing to compromise on the truth. And again, I'm just going to say, I'm going to remind you good folks that believe in salvation by grace. It is because of what you believe that you should be able to be the most loving, the most charitable, the most giving, the most, I'm going to say it, tolerant of any people on the planet. Why? Because we know it's not what I believe in terms of doctrinal error or truth that lands me in heaven,
right.
But it's that Jesus Christ gave himself for my sins.
Exactly right.
For the purpose of delivering me from this present evil world. Look at verse 11. Paul says, but I certify you, brethren. I certify you. That's a good expression too. To certify something, do we know what that means? Do you? Good. Let me give you a couple examples anyway.
Come on,
certified. Certified. We look for the label, don't we? Oh, we're certified. The outfit I work for, we make this little device that's made to take a sample of water out of the ground. Got to be real clean because you don't want to put something dirty down there and take a sample and send it off to the lab. And for an extra $68, we'll send you a piece of paper that says it's certified clean. We've sent it off. We've verified, certifies that official declaration of certainty. The root word is certain. To certify. And Paul says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. It's not after man. You might say of your son, you know, that Seth Harvey, he just looks right after his father. Yeah, he favors him, he's after him. But Paul says this gospel was not that I preached is not after man.
Right.
It's so contrary to man.
Exactly.
Isn't it the truth? The gospel message is contrary to man. Man wants to say, I ought to have a choice in this thing.
That's right.
Got a choice in everything else I live in, this,
right.
We think. Certainly ought to have a choice in that matter, too. Of course, I never did really figure that one out. Even when I thought I did have a choice, I never could really figure that one out. Why would anyone choose to go to hell if they understood the two, heaven and hell? Why? I just don't understand that. It's not after man, because it's the complete opposite of what man would want in his Adam condition. He goes on to say, for I neither received it of man.
That's right.
Paul didn't get it from Gamaliel, I assure you that. Okay? He didn't get it from that crowd.
No, he didn't.
He didn't get it from the other disciples.
That's right.
He spent the first 3 years of his ministry by himself. Something unique about Paul.
That's exactly right.
Just a man, don't misunderstand. Just a man. But a man that God used mightily.
Oh, yes.
Do we, and I'm not a scholar. Your pastor is way beyond me in this regard. But do we understand that all the other apostles, the 11, the 12, fishermen, tax collectors, just regular Joes. But here's Paul. He's the religious guy. He had letters, so to speak, after his name. Wow. I certify you, brethren, the gospel which I preached of me, which was preached of me, is not after man, neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it. By man is implied, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Supernatural.
Absolutely.
By the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he's going to say, it's like he understands they're marveling at that statement. And what do you mean by that? So he's going to tell them in verse 13. For you've heard of my conversation, and he's not talking about his mouth moving, he's talking about his manner of life. What he did for a living. For you've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Can you imagine the guilt that Paul may have had? I'm saying may because I don't know it all. But can you imagine? But then I'm reminded of what he started out with Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us, could it be that that very era that he lived in, that God allowed, we've got to admit that, don't we, Brother Gary? Somehow God in his sovereignty allowed Paul, oh my goodness, he had letters in hand that day when he was going to Damascus. He had letters in hand to go and hail people out of their house, imprison them, have them killed. Wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals. In my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Just pause there. When it pleased God. Wow, when it pleased God. What kind of things do you think are pleasing to God? I should have done a little more homework on that. There's plenty of scripture talks about things that are pleasing unto God. We did a good bit of it this evening, when we gathered together in the name of Jesus, and we sang hymns, and we prayed, and now we're looking into his word, I can tell you that's pleasing to God.
Yes,
it is. Amen. But here's this sinner, I don't know how else to describe him. Paul described himself as a wretched man.
That's right.
Amen. Old wretched man that I am, by the way, not was. It pleased God to save sinners. Well, Paul was a good one. He was ripe for saving. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, I have to assume that speaks of his natural birth, and called me by his grace. I have to assume he's talking about being born again there. Don't want to get off in the weeds there. I know there's debate about what happened on the road to Damascus to Paul, this or that. I can tell you this, he was different. When he got on the other side of that, he was a different man. But Paul said, when it pleased God, who separated from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son to me. Is that what it says? I'm revealing Jesus to you tonight. To you. But Paul didn't say that. He said that God revealed his son in him. Isn't that amazing? When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, I immediately converted not with the flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other than the apostles, I saw none, save James and the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before I lie not. God revealed himself to Paul in a way that I guess I have to say, honestly, few have been. Don't know that he was the only one, but I do believe, and I'll start winding this up. I do believe that verse 4 is key to this entire book. I believe that to be the case, because when I look at these other arguments or debates or issues that Paul's dealing with in the book. Take, for example, in chapter 2, he's talking about verse 16 there, knowing that a man's not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Why? Because Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world.
Amen.
I'm crucified, he says in verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. That means death.
Right.
Nevertheless, I live.
Amen.
Yet not I, but Christ liveth on me, in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There it is again. And on the heels of that, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Frustrate it means to twist it, to tangle it up, to pervert it, add to it, take from it. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We might as well go back to the law and start keeping score. The same goes on. Oh my gosh. Any of the arguments you find him dealing with can be answered by that truth that Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. I think that's why he would say in chapter 5, to stand fast, therefore. Why? Because Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Remember now that deliver means to set free. Stand fast in the liberty, and liberty is not the freedom to do anything. Liberty is the freedom to do what's right. Liberty is, I've got a few definitions here. Exemption or release from captivity, bondage or slavery. Oh, there's talk of reparations today of all sorts. There's only one that truly can deliver us. Freedom from arbitrary, despotic, or autocratic rule or control. Doesn't sound like what I'm hearing from some camps today. Liberty. Liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why? Because Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present world, present evil world. May God bless you is our prayer. The book of Galatians, revelation of Jesus Christ, resurrection, the Lord's return. It really is nothing to fear of. I understand why there's fear about it. You know, I think about the Lord's return, and I think, well, I'm not done yet. I want to do this. I want to see my grandkids. I want to own. The list goes on and on and on. But we heard it today in that in the funeral service for Brother Harvey. I think we heard it from Brother Harvey's own words there. It's a lot better. Way better. We enjoy, I'm sure all of us, maybe not tonight. I'm not doing the best job I can, but I know we've all probably experienced God's presence in a church service. Yeah. Heaven's going to be better.
Right.
Can you imagine? When I was a kid, I remember thinking, as a child, I remember, how could you spend eternity just singing and clapping and, you know? But really, I had those thoughts. And if I'm not careful, I'll fall into that trap even as an adult. All the things I want to do. But really is, heaven's going to be a whole lot better. A whole lot better. May God bless you is our prayer.